Mike Snow mit The Heart of Me auf Flux FM am Montagnachmittag. Es ist 15 Uhr und gleich 7 Minuten. Heute Abend spielt die Band aus Schweden mit dem Sänger aus Manhattan im Postbahnhof. Und schon jetzt sind die Herren bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen nochmal über die Vor- und Nachteile einer größeren Pause vom Business. Wir finden heraus, wie schwierig es für die Band war, nach dem Break wieder in den Groove zu kommen. Wir sprechen über das Komponieren von Songs ohne Plattendeal im Rücken und unter Umständen auch nochmal über Grammy-Gewinn. Aus dem Jahr 2005. Zunächst aber sage ich nochmal herzlich willkommen Pontus Winberg and Andrew Wyatt.
Dankeschön.
Hallo.
Hi.
So you did understand a lot of what I just said?
Yeah, I got like a fair share of it.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good. So how are you guys doing today? Everything's all right?
Yeah.
Where are you coming from?
We actually had a day off, so Andrew flew in from Amsterdam and I just went home for a couple of hours and Stockholm.
Okay, cool. So, how's touring been so far? I mean, you had a day off. You went to Amsterdam for your day off. That speaks volumes, though.
because we were kind of close to Amsterdam.
Okay.
But I'm pretty wiped out. Actually, I have to say, we've been touring for 5 weeks now. We got another week.
Uh-huh.
So you have those days off, and they're nice. But you know, I kind of always compare this to like the first time I've only done it twice. It's not like I do it all the time, but I've actually hiked into and out of the Grand Canyon twice in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And when you come out, especially if you carry a pack down to like sleep down at the bottom, when you come out and you take your last step out of the canyon from climbing up,
yeah,
you feel like that's the last step you can actually take.
Yeah.
And so it's very convenient that it is the last step that you have to take, you know. I feel like I'm going to have that feeling at the end of this tour.
But that still includes some happiness, I think,
absolutely,
right?
Oh, definitely.
I mean, that sounds good to me.
Definitely.
But I've read today that you only started playing together again in the beginning of 2016 when the album came out. How hard was it for you to come back into the well-oiled machine thing again?
I mean, it's always hard because we have to like figure out how to play these damn songs.
Yeah.
I mean, we spent like so long time in the studio.
Yes, and you use the studio as another instrument as well, right?
I mean, I guess we all do. We're so the studio is our instrument. Yeah. When we do our day like in our day jobs.
Yeah.
So. I guess we have that angle too. That's a part of our angle to our live show. But also, both me and Andrew, we kind of like we're musicians. Like we come from like a jazz background, so we have that thing as well.
We have jazz hands.
Yeah, that's cool. So you don't need to rehearse though.
No.
As jazzers, there's no need to rehearse.
We just need to get the people into jazz trance. If you seem
I'm getting you into jazz trance with my jazz hands. Then you're gonna dance.
Yeah.
I'm gonna freestyle rap. No, that sounds good to me. Because I was thinking maybe it takes
has anybody ever here said they come from a rap metal background?
Rap metal background?
Yeah.
I mean, in the 90s, that was a huge thing. You do remember that,
right?
No,
I do, but does anyone ever say they come from a rap metal background?
You know what I mean?
A lot of people say, I have a classical background. I have a jazz background, you know. My background's in folk music. I have a rap metal background.
It would be interesting to actually be currently doing folk music, but have a background in rap metal.
That's really cool.
Exactly.
Yeah, I could come up with I don't know if I'm a good folk musician, but I do have a rap metal background.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Nice.
Maybe I'm the first person that you meet with
a rap metal
background, but I do have that background. I promise you. What I love about your band is that you are three composers, three producers, three super talented people in one band, and yet the result is always pop music with a certain quality to it, and I would like to call it musicians pop music, you know what I'm saying, because it's pop music and it can be played on the radio, and people who don't care about music, they could, you know, snap their fingers to it and be like, yeah, that's good. But
I thought you were going to say, you know, what I like about you guys is that you're three really talented musicians, but your music is always terrible.
Somehow you manage
to sidestep all of your abilities when you make
And yet you sound so talented.
And that in itself, takes a lot of ability. How do you avoid
it's
using
more,
all of your skills
more,
and your talent
is more a
and taste?
It's more a phenomena than anything else because of that.
Yeah. But what I really want to know is how do you know when to stop putting ideas into songs? Because I can imagine that all the three of you, you all have ideas to put into a song, and there's always that thin red line that you don't cross because you can put too much information into a song, right?
That's
and then
true.
The pop appeal is gone, but then you can put not enough information into a song and all the musicians be like,
I mean,
that song is boring.
That's the job of a producer, is to know, decide when something is done because it can potentially never be done.
Yeah.
And I guess we all work with people that are like that, which is like they can go on forever and anyone can, but the producer needs to step in and say like, okay, it's done.
Yeah.
Let's mix it.
True.
Let's get it out there and then let's do something else.
Yeah.
I think that's more than anything a producer's biggest.
It's the same thing with an oil painting actually, right?
Yeah,
you have to know when to stop.
Yeah,
cool. So that's what makes an artist maybe as well.
When you've reached peak oil, so to speak.
Woo! Now let's listen to Stuart Price remix of The Rabbit. It's an old school hit single of Mike Snow. And Stuart,
definitely an old school single.
Yeah. It's a hit single, believe me. I can say that.
Okay.
Mike Snow nochmal mit The Rabbit und Stuart Price. Remix. Wir quatschen gleich noch ein bisschen weiter. Pontus, Andrew und Icke. Und wir verlosen auch noch Tickets für die Show heute Abend im Postbahnhof. Das Lied mit dem längsten Chorus aus dem Flux FM-Programm, würde ich fast sagen. Aber eben auch einer der schönsten. I just said it probably is the longest chorus that we've ever played on this very station. But it's one of the sweetest choruses, so we play it on and on and on and on and on. Now, you guys, you and Christian Pontus, you have written so many great hits for so many other artists. You have written some hits for other artists as well, Andrew. How does that make you better composers? How do you decide whether to write a song for your own project or for another band? Do you have to get asked to write songs for another band, or do you put them somewhere and if somebody comes up and you go like, yeah, I got something for you?
I think it differs a little bit from now to then. I think that now when you work with other artists, which I rarely do these days actually, but then you usually work with the artist in the room and then it's just like,
they can kind of say yes or no.
Yeah,
whatever.
And then you have like a hold up. So when and the same thing when we work with Mike Snow, it's just like, well, then it's us in the room.
Yeah,
I guess
it's
just when you
taste of the people you're involved with, but also like, I think there are certain times practical considerations where, but I don't know today. I don't know if you really. It's the whole music business is so different now from back then that, you know, I don't know if you would really care if, like I was saying, like probably at this time that we did The Rabbit, you're right, the chorus would actually just be too long for somebody like, you know, Kylie or something. But now it's just sort of like everything's all kind of bets are off, you know. It's like anything can be successful, but there's different ways for it to be successful.
Yeah.
And also back then you could write the song and then send it around and someone would record it.
Yeah.
These days it doesn't really work like that. I think it's just doesn't like,
work
I'm not sure about that, how big percentage it is that, and it's just like, it's almost like nothing.
Yeah.
You just, you do collabs with the artists, or you write for yourself. So it's
because record companies have
the artists. You go fuck yourself.
but maybe that's because the record companies have realized that there's no certain way of producing a hit single anymore, right? Because that's an advantage for the artists, I think, because they can finally do whatever they want, and maybe they have a positive result with it. They have success with it, or maybe they don't. But they did what they wanted to do, and that's
a
good
thing. Like it's both for the good and bad, but mostly for the better, I think. Where also the entry step to go into like the professional, quote unquote, professional world of music is way lower now than it was before. Before you also needed, like back in the day, you needed these
studio.
Like, yeah, studio, yeah. And usually middle-aged men.
Yeah,
that was grumpy as
money
hell
to have a studio
to be able to unlock the
true
possibility of recording.
Yeah,
now it's just like it's getting more and more easy. But then again, on the other hand,
and we're getting more and more grumpy.
Yeah,
ourselves.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
But then again, it's just like what you might lose by doing so is that when it gets too easy, then, you know, the challenge of actually learning a craft is not like it's definitely going to you're going to develop by doing it, but it's not really that necessary.
Yeah.
So I guess it's just like it would be fun to see all these like talented young kids to actually like take a stab at something that is actually really that might be like take a year or so to learn.
Yeah.
Because what would happen then with the music industry would be interesting to see.
I think it's interesting to see that so many young people are all having the same basic stuff that they're working with. You know, everybody has their MacBook Pro and their Audio Logic on there. Mm. And it's a democratic kind of thing. And I think it's good. It's fun to watch those kids produce their own stuff. But at the same time, you realize that the basic stuff that they're using is the same, you know?
Yeah.
There's single popping up there, and you go like, oh, I know that sound from the drummer
song
section on Logic. I've used that.
And also like then the nerdy stuff before when we were making, this is a huge generalization, but when we were younger and made like what we're more into, like making beats and stuff for other people, the nerdy part was so much a part of that world as well.
Yeah.
Now it's just like, if you do minimal techno, you can deal with like programming and nerd out. But it's not really like it. When you do pop hits, you just like want to have like, want to grab the biggest snare that's ever made.
Yeah.
And there's five and everyone has them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
that's true.
Instead of like, oh, I want to reinvent it and make it sound completely different.
Yeah, in the beginning of the 2000s, from 1999 to 2004, 2005, if you were able to work with Logic, you were one of the nerds.
Yeah,
right?
Totally.
And nowadays,
every kid does it. Yeah.
I have Instagram and I have Logic on my, you know, that's what the kids are nowadays.
Right.
They'd be like, yeah,
that's true.
Let me produce a dance hit real quick.
Yeah. Totally.
So you don't work for other artists that much anymore?
No, I mean, I kind of do it when there's like more of like a...
When there's money involved.
Exactly. When there's not that much money around these days.
No. Good reason to stop, actually.
No, it's more like on a friend basis. So there's like this circle of people.
Friend that, meaning a person that can give
friend
them pharmaceutical
meaning,
grade blow.
And friend meaning money. Money is my only friend.
It's a joke.
When there's friends around, I'm there.
All about the Benjamin friends.
Yeah.
So you, Andrew, living back in LA right now. You still live in Stockholm.
Yeah.
Christian has moved to Bangkok with his wife, who's a diplomat.
Yeah.
So what does that mean for the future of Mike Snow?
You mean for
I'm
Bangkok?
Scared.
Yeah.
No, who knows?
No.
No, but doesn't it mean sort of war with Laos?
Or when Christian I was there?
War with Myanmar. Not that, just saying that was like the fun, that was the deduction that you could make from all those three things. I don't know.
But I guess, I mean, Bangkok is kind of like, there's a lot of shit going on there constantly, like on the political level.
Yeah, totally.
So I guess they are needed there. We're happy that we have one of our guys there trying to like make...
Swedish diplomat.
Yeah.
Bringing the peace to Bangkok, Thailand. But you guys... When you're working on new ideas, do you send them to each other via email, and then after a certain amount of ideas, you'd be like, okay, I think we have 15 sketches. Let's meet together in a room in a studio, or how does that work?
Yeah, both that and then I mean it's kind of we don't really have a rule, but that's usually how that's one method.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So I want you to go back into a studio real quick this time, so we don't have to wait.
We might do that actually.
Four more years.
We've been talking about that.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Yeah.
And I'm happy to see that you guys get along. The break helped maybe a little bit.
It wasn't really like that. I mean, it was a break, but it wasn't really like that intentional. I think it's just like, I got a new kid.
Yeah.
Christian did too.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And Andrew's been moving around. We've been doing songs but not like effectively. We kind of like decided that now let's get this done.
Yes,
like maybe one hour before the release. one year before the release, we kind of like, okay, let's wrap it up.
Okay, cool. So I'm looking forward to more Mike Snow material and I'm looking forward to tonight's show. Und wer da heute Abend hingehen möchte, der kann uns jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000, Berlin 2000 9000. Das ist die Nummer zum Glück. Andrew und Pontus von Mike Snow waren bei mir heute Abend, werden sie im Postbahnhof auftreten mit dem dritten Mann im Bunde, mit Christian auf der Bühne. Thank you guys for visiting. It was a great pleasure to be talking to you.
Thank you.
All the best of luck for tonight's show, Break a Leg, and all the best of luck for future projects, compositions,
Thank you.
Mike Snow songs. Thanks a lot for visiting. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye. Thanks.